As part of Concordia Seminary's lay lecture series under the all-inclusive title Issues 1975, I've been asked to discuss the seminary and the synodical educational system, or more particularly, the preparation, certification, and placement of pastors. The preparation of pastoral candidates in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod proceeds according to one of three different plans. The first is known as the colloquy plan. Synod provides for a colloquy board consisting of a vice president of the synod as chairman and the presidents of the two theological seminaries of the synod at St. Louis and at Springfield. This colloquy board accepts applications for admission to the colloquy plan and supervises the progress of candidates through the colloquy plan. Eligibility for the colloquy plan is limited to ministers or candidates for the ministry who are in good standing in a Christian church body, not in fellowship with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but who are nevertheless graduates of a recognized theological seminary, and to graduates of the Synod's teachers' colleges who have had at least 5 years of teaching experience and are in good standing in their profession. The program of instruction for the colloquy program requires that those who are already theological seminary graduates accept at least 1 year of resident training at a seminary of the Synod, plus a year of vicarage. The men who come out of the teacher training program of the Synod are required to accept a minimum of 2 years of resident instruction at a theological seminary, plus a year of vicarage. The colloquy student, then, is certified by the Board of Colloquy and is placed by the Board of Assignments of the Synod with the Council of the Placement Committee of the seminary at which the candidate did his resident work. The second route of preparation for the pastoral ministry might be called the Modified American Plan. The American Plan of Theological Education essentially is this, that a student may take undergraduate training at any college of his choice in any discipline or field of knowledge which he desires. But following that undergraduate training, he may enroll at a theological seminary for a period of 4 years training to qualify him for the ministry in any church which accepts graduates of that seminary. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has modified that plan from a time early in its history by maintaining the Concordia Theological Seminary, now of Springfield, Illinois, as an institution which has typically accepted men who have followed an undergraduate program of education in any college or university of the land. However, rather than receiving a person with such prerequisites directly into their seminary program, the Theological Seminary at Springfield has required that the student show competence or gain competence in biblical theology, and that he show competence or gain competence in at least the biblical language of the New Testament, the Greek. Thus, the pattern of 4 years undergraduate and 4 years seminary has a variable amount of time coming between those two sets of 4 years according to the needs of the student to prepare himself for successful work in the theological seminary. In more recent years, Concordia Seminary of St. Louis has also accommodated students who come to it on the basis of this so-called modified American plan. The third plan of education in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has been called the classical plan. This plan calls for the undergraduate to engage in education of a specifically pre-theological nature. That education is ordinarily to be acquired at a college or colleges of the church itself. Thus, the church has maintained pre-theological junior colleges and a pre-theological senior college at which a training in the liberal arts is offered with emphasis upon the biblical languages and upon biblical theology as part of the liberal arts study. The emphasis on the liberal arts is made in the expectation that an effective minister should have funded knowledge for the understanding of the thought patterns of the culture in which he will serve. He is also to gain, through a liberal arts education, training and skill both in analytical and in analogical thinking, so that he would be able to identify problems and find solutions for them. Also, gaining effectiveness, particularly in those fields of theology which require the seeing of relationships particularly much, such as the study of exegesis or biblical interpretation, the study of dogmatics or Christian doctrine, and the study of homiletics or the art of sermon preparation and delivery. These plans for a classical theological education have always centered in the seminary at St. Louis. Both seminaries at Springfield and at St. Louis, in addition to following the Modified American Plan or the Classical Plan, also make provision for a percentage of their student bodies, no greater than 10%, to come to them as people with a demonstrated ability and competence despite the lack of an undergraduate degree. These men then become candidates for the theological diploma, which would admit them to the ministerium of the church, but are not permitted to be candidates for the academic degree in theology, the Master of Divinity degree. So much then for the preparation of pastoral candidates. We must say that to speak on the subject at this point may be to fail to say something lastingly definitive about it, however, inasmuch as a task force on higher education has been at work in our synod since the New Orleans Convention. That task force will be reporting to the Anaheim Convention. The results of their report could be convention action, which makes substantial changes in the patterns of preparation of pastoral candidates. Our second concern, then, is that of certification of pastoral candidates. The goal of certification is expressed by the synod in its handbook in the following words. A candidate for the office of the pastoral ministry in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod shall have received endorsement by the proper faculty or the committee on colloquies, and in every respect have been declared qualified by them for the office of the ministry of word and sacrament in the church. Under the obligation of carrying out the satisfaction for this requirement of certification, Concordia Seminary establishes its basis for certification in expressing its aims in its academic catalog. The concept of a man's being qualified in every respect for the pastoral ministry, as the synodical bylaw expresses it, compels the faculty of the seminary to be interested in far more than the mere academics of preparation for pastoral ministry. In every respect would include not only that a man be qualified academically, but that he be qualified first of all spiritually, and then also confessionally, professionally, and personally. That he would have the personal habits and attitudes that would give him aptness for the ministry, that he would have the understanding of the mission and ministry of the church by which he could dedicate himself to those goals of the church, and that he would be able to do so within the confessional framework of a church which sees itself as a fellowship which, by the grace of God, thinks and says the same things according to those things which God gives by instruction through his word. The seminary in its catalog, then, says that it aims to equip men with the knowledge, attitudes, and skills requisite for entrance upon the parish ministry in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To qualify for this ministry, it is necessary that the candidate, first, display the gifts with which the Holy Spirit has endowed him by reverence for God, faithful personal discipline in the use of word and sacrament, and the opportunities for study and for growth in the grace to edify his fellow Christians, to serve men in their need, and to witness to all as a person of good reputation. The knowledge attitudes and skills which are emphasized here are to be taken in their totality as an evidence of the fact that the seminary is interested not merely in being a technical institute in preparing men for the ministry who have skills in planning parish programs, in carrying out programs of Christian education, in promoting the stewardship life in the church and so forth, but that the person should also be a true professional in the knowledge that he has and the attitudes which he holds. The seminary is definitely patterned to be a professional school and not just the technical institute. The rudiments of those qualifications of which the seminary speaks as its aims for its students are expected to be present at the time of the student's enrollment, and yet the very existence of the seminary and the presence of the student in its program is an evidence of the fact that growth is expected from that rudimentary level to a level of truly professional attainment during the 4 years of life at and work in the seminary. To go on with the aims that the seminary expresses in its catalog, then, it says further that the candidate should accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments as the written word of God and the only rule and norm of faith and practice, and all the symbolical books of the Evangelical Lutheran Church contained in the Book of Concord as a true and unadulterated statement and exposition of the word of God. This aim reflects the second article of the Constitution of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and the commitment to faith that is made by the entire synod in that article. Further, the catalog states that the candidate should manifest an appreciation and comprehensive understanding of the theology of the Bible and the skill to interpret the scriptures on the basis of their original languages and in accordance with sound hermeneutical principles. That the candidate should manifest an understanding and appreciation of the Church's formulation of scriptural doctrine in the light of its varying needs, and the skill to present such doctrine clearly. That the candidate should manifest an understanding and appreciation of God's guidance in the ongoing life of the Church throughout the world and its continuing interaction with the social order, and the skill to investigate the Church's past and to interpret it to all sorts and conditions of men. That the candidate manifest understanding of human need at every level and age and class, recognize the interaction of physical, psychological, social, and spiritual forces in human beings, and is growing in the skill to meet these needs, to cultivate Christian growth in others, and to guide people effectively to serve one another in the body of Christ, and to witness to Him. Finally, that the student should manifest a readiness to place his life, talents, and skills into the service of the Lord and His Church, when and where it becomes clear that God is calling him. With this being the background from the Synod and from the seminary's own sense of purpose for existence, Concordia Seminary then pursues the matter of certification according to the following methodology. The seminary administration includes the office of Dean of Student Affairs. The person who occupies that office is to take an overall or comprehensive responsibility for the personal life and development and the academic life and development of each and every student. However, the entire administration and teaching faculty of the seminary is involved. The student, beginning immediately with his enrollment at the seminary, is given a faculty advisor who joins with the Dean of Student Affairs in counseling the student spiritually, academically, confessionally, professionally, and personally. During the first 2 years of his life on the seminary campus, in addition to his classroom work, each student is expected to perform field work in a local parish under the direction of the director of resident field work and the supervision of the pastor of the parish in which he serves. As his third year of enrollment at the seminary, the student is expected to spend a year of vicarage under the direction of the non-resident fieldwork director and under the supervision of the pastor of the parish in which he serves. In addition to the counsel which a student gains from the Dean of Student Affairs, from his faculty advisor, from his professor in the classroom, from the director of resident fieldwork, from the director of non-resident fieldwork, and the fieldwork supervisors, each student is also provided with such specialized counseling as may seem to be advisable for him or as he may feel the need for it. And above all that, finally, the director of placement and the placement committee of the seminary becomes involved with the preparation of the student for certification. The act of certification by the faculty, however, is preceded by an important procedure known as the theological interview of the student. The faculty divides itself into committees of four. On each committee, at least three of the four departments of theology at the seminary are represented. That committee conducts an interview with the student of no less than an hour's duration, in which the student's understanding of the doctrine of the church, the confessional commitment of the church, and the mission and the ministry of the church are explored thoroughly. The committee then, which has conducted the theological interview, makes its recommendation to the director of placement, who in turn shares it with the placement committee, which in turn forwards it to the dean of student affairs, and he finally makes the recommendation to the faculty that the men interviewed be declared qualified in all respects for the ministry of word and sacrament in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, subject to their successful completion of the academic program at Concordia Seminary. It is to be understood, of course, that if in the course of the interviewing and reviewing of interview, which has been briefly described, there are any concerns which come to the surface, those concerns are pursued through extension of the interview process until it is possible, finally, for the Dean of Student Affairs to say to the faculty that he recommends the man as being qualified in all respects. The matter of certification for the candidate for the pastoral ministry has been carried on in this fashion by the faculties of the theological seminaries throughout the life of the church. At the present time, the Council of Presidents of the Synod, I understand informally, is planning to report to the Anaheim Convention the prospect not of altering this certification procedure, but of supplementing it by the creation of a board of examiners, which would have the final contact with the student to be offered for the ministry and the final word of approval to speak as to whether or not he becomes eligible for that office. It would seem, however, that while states of our union may find it necessary to provide boards of examiners for the various professions, medicine, law, nursing, etc., because of the fact that they receive their candidates for those professions from a variety of public and private schools within the state, as well as public and private schools from other states, the procedure that has been followed for years in the Synod is entirely more efficient, inasmuch as it makes use of those people who have the richest knowledge of and interaction with the people who are finally to be certified. Whether or not this is a satisfactory procedure would depend, at last, it would seem, upon the Synod's diligent supervision of its theological faculties. If the boards of control, the synodical president, the district president of that district in which the institution is located, and finally even the pastor of the congregation to which the theological professor belongs, all perform their admonitory and hortatory duties over against the members of the theological faculties, then they should indeed be and remain the people who are in every respect the most qualified to provide certification for graduates who would enter the ministerium of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So much for the subject of certification. Then finally, there is the matter of the placement of candidates for the ministry. The procurement of calls for candidates is the concern of the presidents of the districts of the synod. They counsel with congregations in their districts, either directly or through the circuit counselors who work as extensions of their office, seeking to persuade, where they see it as appropriate, congregations to delegate their right to call a pastor to the Board of Assignments of the Synod, which is the Council of Presidents. Congregations who consider that their needs could be met by such means then accept the advice of the district president and submit a call or a diploma of vocation with the name line blank, saying that they have that confidence in the action of the Holy Spirit that he can and will work through the placement procedures of the synod to provide them with the pastor whom they should have. There is a semi-exception to the idea of submitting the call with the name line blank, inasmuch as congregations are informed of their right to send an accompanying letter of request in the event that they should know of a graduate from one of the two seminaries whom they identify as being particularly suitable for their own situation. Whether or not that specific request is honored, however, remains the responsibility of the Board of Assignments of the Synod. At this point, it may also be worth saying that the question of who may extend a call is to be answered by saying that first and foremost it is the parishes of the synod, but also those auxiliary organizations of the synod or boards, commissions, and educational institutions of the synod which by delegation from the congregations have the right to call full-time professional servants of the church into their service as professors, executive secretaries, and the like. The calls which are then procured by the district presidents are forwarded by him to the Board for Higher Education, which collates them and forwards materials about them to the placement committees at the two seminaries and to the pastoral placement committee of the Council of Presidents. The placement committees of the seminaries then go to work from the point of view that it must be by their assistance that the Board of Assignments is able both to meet the acute needs of the church and to make maximal use of the talents and preparation of the various candidates available, with that use of the candidates being modified by any acute need of the candidate, such as a limitation placed upon his ability to serve by considerations of health, and also tempered by possible preferences of the candidate when that is possible without disturbing the concept of meeting the acute needs of the church. The director of placement at each seminary then, with the assistance of his placement committee, conducts at least two interviews with each of the candidates for the ministry, one of which reviews the vicarage, looks to the final year at the seminary and the value that it holds, explores the strengths and weaknesses of the candidate as he perceives them himself and as they have been perceived and reported by fieldwork supervisors, vicarage supervisors, faculty advisors, and the like. special capabilities that the student may have as an offering for a special ministry in the church are also taken into account. A second interview continues to look at the strengths and weaknesses of the student, his special capabilities, and limiting needs, if any, but proceeds as well to explore the area of preferences, geographical preferences, preferences in type of community, and preference in type of parish. Out of all the accumulation of material from all of the sources mentioned or alluded to, a placement profile for each candidate is developed by the director of placement and shared both with the placement committee of the seminary and, upon request, with the members of the pastoral placement committee of the Council of Presidents. The placement committee of the individual seminary makes a tentative slotting of each of his candidates to a particular call. Then the placement committees of the two seminaries get together to see in what instances they have slotted men to the same situations, and then to review together the acute needs of the church and the peculiar qualifications of their several candidates to see in what instance the one seminary should yield to the slotting of the other, and in what instance the other should yield to the slotting of the one. Finally, the preliminary slottings, which have been prepared by the placement committees of the seminaries, are presented to the Pastoral Placement Committee of the Council and Presidents, which reviews them and joins the placement committees of the seminaries in being especially sure that heed has been given to the rankings of calls made by district presidents in submitting the calls, so that there is no failure to give due recognition to the acute needs of the church while seeking to make the best use of the talents and preparations of the candidates. After such review has been made by the placement committees of the seminaries and of the Council of Presidents, these men enter a mediation phase in which their tentative slottings are shared with all of the district presidents, and the individual district presidents are allowed to come in to the placement committees and share their thinking, their possibly differing evaluation, and so forth. The product of all this labor is a final slotting of each candidate to a specific call, a presentation of those final slottings to the entire Council of Presidents, and their vote, which makes the placement final. At this question, a person may ask, is every call divine? We're convinced that the Holy Spirit of God works through this elaborate placement procedure as surely as he does through the voters' assembly of a congregation, and that despite the faults and failings of the many people involved, the Holy Spirit of God does have his way in providing a call to a candidate. It is as true of a call to a candidate as it is to a man already in the field, however, that the Spirit may guide a call to a certain individual from the point of view of subjecting him to trial, as well as from the point of view of guiding him into a certain form of service, so that while it is not expected to happen very frequently, it is still entirely possible and entirely ethical to have it happen that a candidate would feel constrained to decline a call to which he has been assigned. That, then, is a brief review of the placement, certification, and preparation of pastors in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It is our hope that you join us in that sense of confidence which allows us to say that God is having his way through these methods and supplying the needs of the church with his gift.